Welcome back to another episode of Talkin' Moto. That's right, we are back after a little bit longer of a break than I was expecting. I know I said at the end of last show that I was going to do a show 2 weeks ago covering the little Unadilla preview. Got a little distracted, a little busy, wasn't able to get to it. Same thing with the Unadilla recap. So I guess I'll give my thoughts on Unadilla real quick. Obviously we had, I'll just be real quick one here. Chase Sexton in the 450 doing what he's been doing a lot lately, and that is winning. So Unadilla being his fourth overall in a row with a 2-1 in front of Hunter Lawrence, still in search of his first ever overall. Does have a couple moto wins, but still in search of his first ever overall here in the 450 class with a 1-2. Obviously, points ties, tiebreaker goes to Chase Sexton there. And then Aaron Plessinger rounded out the podium with a solid 3-4 on the day. And now just continuing to really just talk about the end results of Unadilla here. It was nice to have old Kickstart Kenny Roczen back at Unadilla with a 7-6 for a 7 overall. And, of course, we all know he's going to be doing Ironman on a 250, so that'll be very exciting to pay attention to. And then we also had the return of Cooper Webb, who first moto, he was battling with Ken Roczen, all moto, finishing 8th. And then second moto, sadly, crashed and was not able to finish that race. So he had a 35. So he went 8, 35 for 15 overall. So unable to collect points in the second moto. It's a big shame. I forget exactly what the dealio with Cooper Webb was. Look it up here real quick. Yeah, it's just a big shame. I know he crashed. Don't think good to be back. Ate some roost. Track was gnarly. He did say he had to take over as a flagging director. So, you know, that's never good. The flagging crew and all the volunteers out there have been under, seems like, a very big microscope this past year. Last couple years, really, but I feel like it's gotten a lot worse this year with the incidents at Redbud, with Deegan on the tabletop, even the very first press day where we had a big pile up at Fox Raceway on the downside of a little roller going into a corner that created, like I said, a big pile up. So I know flaggers have been a quite a big talking point lately. So still trying to maybe find a little bit more here on old Cooper Webb from Unadilla. Can't quite find anything yet. Here we are. Sprained thumb. The exact same thumb that he just came back from surgery on. It was sprained thumb. So he was going to sit out this past weekend at Bud's Creek. And we'll reevaluate for Ironman coming up this next week here. So, real good news that it is hopefully only this 1 week that he will be out. But I guess time will tell when we get to Ironman. I think that really about wraps up the quick little 450 Unadilla recap. So now we'll jump over to the 250s, where we had a couple big crashes happen. We had in Moto 1, Chance Hymus go out there and really just take over the race. Was leading pretty comfortably, and then went cartwheeling down the hill. Bike landed on top of him. Ended that first moto in 32nd. Somehow, the only bad thing that happened to him really was a burn on his arm from the exhaust pipe. So thankfully, Chance Hymus was able to get out of that pretty decently unscathed, I guess you could say. And then he did try to go out for Moto 2. Didn't last the whole race. Made the tough decision to pull off the track. So that was the end of the day for one of the CRF 250 Team Honda HRC riders. The other rider they have, Joe Shimoda, who got a solid fourth place in Moto 1, was right behind Levi Kitchen, putting on pressure in Moto 2. And then just this slight little freak tip over onto some very hard dirt where the water trucks go around. Just plopped it over and ended up breaking his collarbone. He said he could, when he tried to move it, he could feel the bone on bone rubbing. See, he's got a broken collarbone that happened in Moto 2 at Unadilla. So I'm not a broken bone expert. So I have no clue what the recovery time is on that. 6 to 12 weeks for adults. So you gotta think he is most likely out for the entire playoffs, Super Motocross playoffs, September. Yeah, September 21st is the finale in Vegas. So yeah, I'm gonna take a shot in the dark and say Joe Shimoda's season came at a sad ending here for him in Unadilla, while he was fighting for the lead and doing pretty solid, to be honest. He was right on Levi Kitchen's tail, not making it easy for him whatsoever there in Moto 2, and just bad luck on where he happened to fall and end his season. So Levi Kitchen, although, does go 2-1 for the overall over Hayden Deegan in second, going 1-2. And then Jalik Swole gets Triumph's first ever podium here in the U.S. I know Jalik Swole did get a podium last year. I can't remember off the top of my head where it was. It doesn't have results here. It does. It's right next to it. Look at that. Where has he gotten a podium before? Because I know he's gotten one. Outdoors. High Point. Back in 2021, he got first at High Point. Wow. So Pro Motocross, he has now two career podiums, if I'm looking at this correctly, and it is a first place at High Point in 2021. Yeah, I don't see any other podiums here for Jalik Swole. Until you get to Unadilla a couple weeks ago this past season. So, obviously that's pretty cool. Second career podium ever for him. And first one ever for that new Triumph first year And then Garrett Marchbanks coming down to the 250s on the Pro Circuit Monster Energy Kawasaki team. The biggest shocking news is someone didn't join up with the Star Racing team. Someone actually went to a different 250 team in the middle of the season, because it just seems like Star Racing, if there is a free agent out there, it seemed like Star Racing was out there to get him. But Garrett Marchbanks coming down, needing some points with being in the 450s all summer, needed some points for the Super Motocross to lock himself up in the automatic qualifier top 20, and he is now in 19th. 3 points in front of Nate Thrasher. So I think he's looking pretty good, because yeah. Where is that? Okay, I just try to do some fanciness here with the old computer, and it didn't work. So we'll try something different. Oop. Okay, so yeah. I think Garrett Marchbanks has the automatic qualifier bid pretty much under control here. Oh, and another big thing, Tom Viel finished 11th in Unadilla with a 22.3. I forget. I'll have to go back to my notes here. I forget exactly what happened to Viel in Moto 1. First lap, he crashed very hard. He was about 5th, 6th maybe. Went down very hard. So I do remember that, and put him pretty deep in the pack, unable to score any points. So going into Bud's Creek now, we had the return of, you could say, living legend, or still racing legend, Eli Tomac was back. So, of course, just throwing another guy in the mix. Came in saying that he wants to be fighting for a podium. First week back, there's a lot of talks of the Motocross Nations, which I think I'll get into that. I don't know when I'll jump into that. Maybe today. Calendar here. We'll take a little peeksies. Maybe I'll, I don't know. I guess I'll have to jump into that a little bit today, because all the reports, well, I'll give my opinions today, I should say. Because all the reports and everything I'm seeing is they are waiting until after Ironman to see if Eli Tomac is good to take that second 450 spot, really. Or most likely it'll be the open class. But changing it up on the fly, we are going to talk about the Nations team last, because U.S., I think they got a good fighting chance, depending on if the favorite in the 250 class will end up going, and then depending on who will take that all-important second 450 spot. So, anything else in the top of my mind here going into Bud's Creek? I think really just Eli Tomac back. And then some of the injury news. Oh, we had RJ Hampshire coming back in the 250 class after breaking his wrist at press day before the very first race at Fox Raceway. So he's back in the 250 class. Casey Cochran is out after a crash at Unadilla. He had lacerations in his arm, which he had to have over a dozen stitches. So he took the weekend off to heal up. So hopefully he's feeling a lot better and is able to come back at Ironman and prove what he did. Oh, golly, where did he do that? I can't remember where he, off the top of my mind here. That's, Promotocross. Spring Creek, I believe it was. I do believe it was Spring Creek he went out there. Yeah, Spring Creek. Got second in moto number two. So, yeah, hopefully he can heal up and come back and get back to that speed that he had in Spring Creek. So now taking a look here at 250 qualifying at Buds Creek. Now getting on to the most recent race. We had Hayden Deegan coming in with a chance to clinch the 250 championship. His first pro motocross championship. He does have the super motocross championship from last year. So coming in, you think maybe he'd have some pressure on him. Maybe he wouldn't. Who knows? But if he was feeling the pressure, he didn't show it in qualifying because he did qualify first with a 204.760. 0.2, so 0.2 faster than Ty Masterpool in second with a 205.007. And then the newly returning RJ Hampshire with a third place in qualifying with a 205.247. And everything they were saying on the broadcast is Buds Creek really lends itself to riders like Hayden Deegan and RJ Hampshire, who like to just go, 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 push the pace, really go for it. So really not too surprising seeing them two first and third in qualifying. And then we had Tom Vielle in fourth place, kind of maybe looking to regain some of the momentum he had early in the season, who is also still looking for his first overall this year. Qualified fourth with a 205.733. And then Max Anstey rounds out our top five in qualifying with a 205.814. Just over a second off of Hayden Deegan's pace. And then Levi Kitchen, the man who's been on a tear, going 2-1 a lot lately, except for his home race in Washougal, which we all know. He said that's not his good spot. Yes, he's got the fans, but the track doesn't agree with him. He qualified eighth with a 207.440, right behind Chance Hymus with a 207.204. Nothing else really crazy here. It'll be interesting to see how Garrett Marchbanks continues to adapt, going back down to the smaller size 250 here. Factory going from privateer in air quotes, Club MX, because obviously they got a lot of backing and support, so it's not a full privateer effort, but still considered a privateer. Down to the Pro Circuit factory team with all the bells and whistles you could ever ask for. Qualified 14th with a 208.8, just over 4 seconds off of first. So obviously Qualifying, Hayden Deegan was feeling it, not feeling the potential pressure, which after listening to him on the podium after Moto 1, where he did wrap it up. I mean, he said some things again, like always. When doesn't Hayden Deegan say something stupid? Getting into the 450s now, we had our other red plate holder, Chase Sexton, qualify first with a 201.004. So yeah, able to qualify in front of Hunter Lawrence on, oh, another thing that happened last week at Unadilla was the new 450. CRF 450 got debuted 2025, and obviously Hunter Lawrence put on a good show, winning its very first moto and then coming in second for second overall. Obviously not the best, but could have been a lot worse. So Hunter on his new 25 dirt bike qualified second overall with a 201.255. Just 0.2 behind Chase Sexton, and then shortly behind Hunter Lawrence was Justin Cooper with a 201.551. And then Eli Tomac, obviously, he said, I believe it was press day, he said that he would like to be fighting for a podium. Came out, proved that he might have the podium speed, qualifying fourth here with a 202.988, only one in the 202s, because everyone in front of him was in the 201s, everyone behind him was in the 203s. So even though he was just under 2 seconds behind Chase Sexton, obviously not ideal, but also first race back, probably still working first outdoor race since, gosh, 22, when he won it, that crazy summer of him and Chase Sexton putting 30 seconds on everybody. So nice to see the former champion of this series come back with a hot start, qualifying fourth, and then rounding out the top five in qualifying was Jason Anderson with a 203.2, and then Aaron Plessinger, like I mentioned, he looking for that last spot. I know he's come out and said he'd love to do it, last spot on the American Nations team. Qualified sixth with a 203.552. So, I think it's moto time now. So we are now going to jump in here to 250 moto number one, and right off the start, it was is about as hectic, I think, as you could ask for, where we had Hayden Deegan on the very far inside get up on the berm a little bit of the start straight and kind of wheelie down it, and then we had Levi Kitchen and his teammate Ty Masterpool come together. Masterpool gets a little sideways going into a left-hand turn, he's going right, and then just everybody outside of them just gets bottled up and thrown off the track. Max Anstey got probably at least 6 feet in the air, I think. Landed hard on his back. But yeah, Hayden Deegan, Levi Kitchen, Chance Imus, Tom Vigil, a lot of the big guns were able to escape it. So nothing. Well, obviously it was something very crazy, but points-wise, didn't really affect much in the championship, with all the big guns getting through there. But it was an absolute mess. That's for sure. With there it is. I think Levi Kitchen tried to go one way. Ty Masterpool was coming that way, and then Levi was able to survive it. Ty Masterpool could not survive it though, and just sent him flying, like I said, and then everyone on the outside just had to follow suit, really. Nowhere to go, so obviously sucks to see that. But someone who did survive it was Evan Ferry up in fifth. The best start I think I have ever seen from Evan Ferry. I know he had the very tough start to his career with the big pileup in Detroit, but was able to get through that first turn in fifth, and then he didn't stay there for very long. Just, you can't sugarcoat it. He finished in 37th. He was in fifth, and then about two laps later, maybe, I think he was down a lap already. So he showed about four strong laps, and then just went downhill for him. So obviously, that's not very good or ideal whatsoever. But another person who did get a good start, able to sneak through the carnage, was the rookie Julien Baumaire, Juju. And I noticed his mechanic is about 20 minutes left in the race. Juju was running in third place. His mechanic wrote, "Follow, you belong." So obviously that's got to be really good for him to see, if he even saw it. I know there's some riders who look at the pit board, some riders who don't. A lot of it depends on where the mechanics are, but just shows the confidence that his mechanic has in him, and that he should have in himself. So, of course, rookie, late to the game in riding dirt bikes, at least. So he proved in Moto 1 that he could belong up there. But he was getting hunted down by Chance Hymus, and Hymus kind of right before that big uphill triple, Hymus was able to go to the inside. Juju went outside, and Hymus was still able to triple, and Julien Baumaire was not able to triple, and that's really what sealed the pass off for Chance Hymus. So not the best start for Hymus, but he was still able to maneuver some things and get himself up in the fight. So and then Vial went inside on Juju for fourth, and at that point he was 4 seconds from Hymus, and it was easy to catch guys on this track. It seemed like it was very difficult to make the passes. Sexton was able to do it, but not too many other guys were able to make the passes once they did end up catching him. So Hymus was able to catch up to Levi Kitchen at one point, unable to make a move. Once Vial got around Julien Baumaire, he was able to catch up to both of them. And Hymus was then able to get past Levi Kitchen on the little rollers or small doubles. Some guys were kind of front wheel up getting through there. Some guys were doubling through there. And that's where Hyman's got past Kitchen. Vial was able to get past Kitchen pretty quickly after that. And then I think his last lap, Hyman's went cartwheeling, went from second all the way down to eighth where he finished. So Vial was able to get by him there. Levi was able to get back by him, get on the podium, which I was excited about because we were wondering just what the heck happened to Levi Kitchen. He was going so strong, and then within about a lap, half a lap, two laps-ish, yeah, that's a big range, I get it, but it just seemed to all come unraveled for him. Turns out he was sick during the week, and he was done. He was out of it, couldn't push forward anymore, so it was real interesting that he was running in second for the longest time and then just hit a wall. So was able to salvage a third due to the mistake by Chance Hymus, which they didn't post on Twitter. Okay. So yeah, your 250 Moto 1 goes Hayden Deegan, Tom Vial, Levi Kitchen for the podium. And with Deegan winning, Levi Kitchen coming in third, that gave Hayden Deegan the 75-plus points. I think it was like 78, 77, 78 or something around at that point. So that clinched the 250 championship for Hayden Deegan, who did have a very big lead. And then I don't think there's been a weekend yet that Hayden Deegan hasn't crashed. But he had a very big lead, championship all wrapped up. Now, he didn't exactly maybe know that he had the championship wrapped up, but still he knew he had 25 seconds on second place. Not sure if he knew it was Hymus at the time, or might have even been VL. I think it was Hymus still at that time. But yeah, Hayden Deegan hits neutral, tips it over. On the podium, he then said he just wanted to go out there and smoke everybody, prove a point. He wanted to put 30 seconds on everybody, show how much better he is than everybody. And, well, almost cost him. In the end, it didn't. I'm sure some people wish it would have costed them. Maybe even me. But, oh well. Deegan is a conversation starter. He's an agitator. But, I mean, he is a very fast dirt bike rider and racer. So, might have to clean up some of the mistakes heading into the 450s, which, shout out Dan Beaver. He thinks he's going to fast track it. Yeah. Okay. Even though he said already in the past he wasn't going to do it. A little inside baseball. So yeah, 250 Moto 1, Hayden Deegan ends up, wrapping up the championship with that. Gets on the podium, says some weird, wild, crazy things that maybe wasn't need to be said, but oh well. We are now on to the 450s, where thankfully we still have a championship fight between two guys that have lots of respect for each other, which I don't think you can... I honestly don't think you can say that about Hayden Deegan with anybody in the 250 class, at least the way he's talking. If he does have respect for them, well, he doesn't show it. So now Chase Sexton had the exact same gate as Hayden Deegan, where Deegan pulled the whole shot, and Chase Sexton had an absolutely terrible start. Just like he has all season long, really. Just bad start after bad start. One hole shot last week, I do believe. Yeah, last week, got his first hole shot of the summer. His hole shot streak has ended at one. Yeah, on the podium, Sexton said he almost ended up in the mechanics area because that was just to the left. He had the scoop tire on. He said he got a little too much grip on that sucker and almost ended up in the mechanics area. But like always, Hunter Lawrence was in there to grab the hole shot, which seems like he's got to have the most hole shots this summer. If not, I would guarantee that Team HRC Honda, they have the most hole shots per team, at least, because when Jet Lawrence was still healthy, it seemed like it was a coin flip if it's going to be Hunter or Jet leading them across the stripe. And so now lately it's just been Hunter. So Hunter gets a good start out front early. Justin Cooper, also really good start. And then madness happens with between Justin Cooper and Hunter Lawrence. Justin Cooper jumps a little bit far. Hunter Lawrence, thankfully, wasn't angry. I'm sure he was a little upset, but wasn't necessarily angry. Said it was a racing incident, but Justin Cooper jumps a little far, lands on the rear fender, left number plate area of Hunter Lawrence. Justin Cooper's bike goes flying, loses his visor, gets up, able to get back on the bike. Hunter Lawrence goes off track for a quick second, but nothing too crazy, able to get back on the track and regain first place. All this is happening, and Sexton was around eighth place off the start. So, yeah, his starts have been bad all summer long. I don't think they were even really the best in Supercross. I think maybe they were just a little bit more disguised, maybe, with, I don't know, honestly. I don't know what the heck the problem is with Sexton and his starts. Because obviously his fitness and speed is there, with having the fastest lap of the moto. So, of course, his speed is there. He just can't get the starts, which he's going to need to figure out before old Jetson gets back for the SMX playoffs and the shorter motos that they do and all that. But Sexton started making some moves. He came up behind Christian Craig and was just straight up faster than him, inside, outside, able to get by him and just kind of blow by Christian Craig. So Plessinger, I take this back, what I said earlier about Hunter Lawrence regaining the lead. Plessinger actually got the lead after the incident between Justin Cooper and Hunter Lawrence. Plessinger gets the lead. Hunter does catch back up to Plessinger, and he was all over him for a while there. And we had the little dual box thing on TV with Hunter Lawrence taking over the lead and Eli Tomac catching up to Jason Anderson and Christian Craig for fourth. But Hunter Lawrence was able to, in the same little area that Sexton was able to get past Christian Craig. That's where Hunter Lawrence was able to make the move on AP, was able to then close the door to the inside and seal the deal for the lead on Aaron Plessinger. And Tomac was able to make a quick pass around Jason Anderson, so he was able to get the old bones and body moving pretty quickly here. Obviously, he had the strong qualifying, but he was able to get up and go. And Hunter, with about 19 minutes left, he had a 2.5 second gap. And halfway through the race, he had a 3.4 second gap on Sexton. And then lappers became a little bit of a situation for Hunter Lawrence. So he lost a little bit of the gap with Sexton. Got it down to 1.8. Sexton obviously had the speed, fastest qualifier, fastest lap in the moto. So like I mentioned in the 250s, he could catch him. Hunter Lawrence would kind of pull away a little bit. Then he would catch him. He just couldn't catch him in a spot where he could make a pass. So that could be a little bit due to the paddle tire or the scoop tire that Sexton had on. Although I don't think it really was. Hunter Lawrence was just riding really good, like he has been all season. I almost said series, but I think you can make the case for all season, going back even to Supercross. So Sexton then pulled kind of a little bit of an old Honda Sexton, front wheel causing an issue, buried his front wheel in a rut, tipped it over. Gap went up to 8 seconds with 5 minutes left. And that was about all she wrote for Chase Sexton and this moto. So Hunter Lawrence was able to take another Moto 1 win, followed by Sexton Plessinger, who was 30 seconds behind Chase Sexton, 37 seconds behind Hunter Lawrence, and then Eli Tomac with a pretty strong fourth place in his return to the great outdoors. So, he said he wanted a podium, be battling for podium. He was about 13 seconds off of Plessinger, so he could kind of sniff it in the waters a little bit. So Hunter Lawrence, like I mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he grabs an overall next weekend with how good he's been riding, getting more confidence, able to get these first moto wins. What's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say struggles in the second moto because he's getting second in these second motos, but coming up a little bit short. There it is. Really, really going to be a fun watch next week at Ironman. That's for sure. So now jumping into 250 Moto 2, where Deegan Championship is locked up. I did forget to mention RJ Hampshire in his return to racing here. Got ninth in 250 Moto 1. And then Ty Masterpool, after that big crash, came back to 11th. And Max Anstey was unable to finish the race. So now here, jumping into Moto number 2 here for the 250s. We had Levi Kitchen, kind of a shades of how it used to be. Levi Kitchen, not the strongest in Moto 1s, then comes out Moto 2s, grabs the whole shot, and it's his race, his pace. Everything's up to Levi Kitchen. And we had a very, I'd like to say, pretty familiar battle between Levi Kitchen and Chance Hymus. We saw a lot of their 250 moto number one. So where I got lost here. Yeah, Chance Hymus was not letting Levi Kitchen go. Just given everything. Chance Hymus was given everything he had to Kitchen, who was really a lot stronger in the second moto than I was expecting, than I'm sure what Chance Hymus was expecting. Everybody who heard after Moto 1 that Levi Kitchen was sick and not feeling the best after Moto 1, I wasn't surprised to see him grab a hole shot, because his starts have been, when they're on, they're hole shots. When in the past, when they haven't been on, they were mid-pack. But I wasn't surprised to see him grab a hole shot and be strong early. I thought maybe a little bit something like Moto 1 would happen, where he might have started to fade a little bit with being sick. But he was giving a good battle with him and Chance Hymus, so that was really fun to watch. And then Jalik Swole, mentioned earlier, he got Triumph's first podium last week. He got a good start. And then he was doing the same thing to Vial that Levi Kitchen was doing to Chance Hymus. But eventually, Vial was just able to rip around the outside, get past Swole, and then cut him off going into the next corner. Obviously, nothing crazy or out of like hate or dirtiness, I should say. So yeah, I guess we'll mention him because he generates clicks. Deegan, terrible start, and finished 10th. Congrats on your championship, dude. So it's about 6 minutes left. It was I wouldn't say it was the most exciting moto, like back and forth type of deal. It was really just Hymus not letting Kitchen get away, Kitchen not letting Hymus pass him, and then about 6 minutes left, Vial was back 7.2 seconds. And the way Vial was able to close in Moto 1, I thought maybe there'd be a chance he'd be able to close in Moto 2, get to Hymus, maybe even get to Levi Kitchen. And then there was a red cross flag that came out. Kitchen turns. It was on his left side coming out of a right-hand corner, I do believe. Kitchen sees it, slows up, turns around, double checks, makes sure it's a red cross flag, and then rolls up the, I think it was that big uphill triple that they got there, that some of the 250 guys have to double and whatnot. But in the end, Levi Kitchen goes out, wins by 3.7 seconds over Chance Hymus. Tom Vial rounds out your podium in third place. And then in, mentioned him earlier, Jalik Swole, distant fourth, excuse me. And then RJ Hampshire, another solid eighth. And even Ty Masterpool bouncing back from a tough start to Moto 1, finishes ninth here in Moto 2. So now looking overall, we had Levi Kitchen winning three out of the last four with 3-1. Tom Vial going 2-3 for second. And then Deegan with a 1-10 to round out the overall podium, right in front of Chance Hymus with an 8-2. So obviously they had the whole championship number one plate presentation for Deegan, and he did say toward about halfway through The second moto there, he said all he could think about was just being able to hold the trophy. Didn't want to do anything stupid or nothing. But then he, in the press conference, he said he's getting held up by his teammates. So, yeah, who knows what that guy, kid, child. So, Garrett Marchbanks fighting for those SMX points, like I was saying, goes 16-11 for 12th overall. And then there's a guy on Twitter or X or whatever. I'll see him every once in a while. There's three things certain in life: death, taxes, and a triumph not finishing a moto. And that was Joey Savacci going 5-37 for 14th overall, not finishing moto number two. So, RJ Hampshire's return to racing goes 9-8 for 9 overall. So I guess now really the points is just coming down to who can take second in the championship, going between Levi Kitchen and Tom Viel. Levi Kitchen is now in second with 383 points, and Tom Viel has 369, 14 points behind. So it's going to be hard for Tom Viel to get that second place in the championship. But it's racing. Anything can happen except for them winning the championship. That's Hymus is too far back to give it a go. So Hymus is pretty much locked up here in fourth place, unless something absolutely crazy happens where he doesn't score any points and Ty Masterpool goes 1-1. I guess we will we'll jump into 450 moto number two, where we had Hunter Lawrence now on the scoop tire, and Chase Sexton was now three gates over from where he started moto number one. He also said he went back to the regular knobby tire because he said start can't get any worse, so might as well pick a tire that'll do better out on the rest of the track. So he was right. The start couldn't get worse. He got a better start, and it proved to work pretty darn good on the rest of the track. But like I mentioned, Hunter Lawrence, I think, has the most hole shots out of anybody this season. He grabs another hole shot. Eli Tomac got absolutely buried. I think he was around 18th in lap one. So Hunter Lawrence, hole shot, followed by Plessinger, Malcolm Stewart. I can't tell exactly who that, Jason Anderson maybe? No, Justin Cooper, I think. And then Chase Sexton in fifth. So, yes, a better start from Sexton, who made it a quick three-way battle for first place between Hunta, AP, and Chase. And then Sexton had this really cool line right before the rollers where I don't think Plessinger was expecting it, really. Most guys were kind of rolling the first two and then starting to double or whatnot, but Sexton said, screw it, I'm just going to double the first two, and that's where he was able to make a pass on Plessinger. So Sorry, get a little confused there for a second. So he was able to flow really good through that little roller section, making up a lot of time. Although the front wheel again for Chase Sexton seemed to be a bit of an issue. Pushes the front end while in second, gets back up, and fourth. Couple laps after he made the original pass on Plessinger doubling into the rollers, he did the exact same thing on AP just a couple laps later. And then with 10 seconds left, or not 10 seconds, 10 minutes, Sexton was down by 4.5 seconds. And then he just absolutely powered his way around the outside past Hunter Lawrence. That set him up for the inside on the next corner, where he was able to really confirm, hold down that lead with 5 minutes left. He makes the pass and then just goes out and drops the absolute hammer. Once again, running the fastest lap in the moto. Adam Cianciulo on the broadcast said that crash seemed like it just made him angry. It just kind of pissed him off a little bit. So he looked like he was out to prove a point after he got up in fourth place. Looked like he wanted to prove a point, and I think he did that. He didn't allow one mistake to compound into three or four. Funny enough, I was watching a YouTube video today of Sexton crashes, just because it popped up. Watched one on Chad Reed, too. Boy, did that dude take some hits. But anyway, there was quite a few clips where, especially in his 250 days, where it was one crash, next clip, 5 minutes later in the same race, another crash, and then maybe even another crash. But seems like over time here, he's gotten better and keeping it up on two wheels more often. Obviously, that Hangtown ride was absolutely insane going from 40th to first. But anyway, seems like he's got maybe a little more confidence in his speed, where he doesn't need to push it 300% every single time he's out there. He can just push it 100% and still go out there and put up 9.5 seconds on Hunter Lawrence in 5 minutes, plus two laps, obviously. So, yeah, Sexton was able to take Moto 2. And then Hunter Lawrence, Aaron Plessinger, and Justin Cooper bouncing back from obviously a very tough hit in Moto 1. But Justin Cooper posted a picture of him going into the turn in Moto 1 and said, at this point, Bud's Creek looked amazing. Obviously, going into two turns later, looked a little bit different. It was a little bit sunnier because he didn't have a visor and he probably had a lot of dirt. So Sexton makes it five overalls in a row, going 2-1. Hunter Lawrence goes 1-2 once again. So a little bit of a struggle there for Hunter Lawrence, unable to capitalize on his first moto success with a second moto struggle, I guess, if you can call it. Obviously, second place is nothing to be upset about unless you keep going 1-2 and losing the overall to a guy going 2-1 every weekend. But Plessinger found himself in a very, very familiar 3-3 for a third overall. And then Malcolm Stewart, his best finish, I think he's tied for his best finish ever with a 6-5 for 4 overall. He also had a 4 overall at Buds Creek. I think they were saying back in 2013, last time he raced the full series. So, cool to see Malcolm Stewart up there in the mix. And then Eli Tomax back to the outdoors, 7th overall with a 4.11. Obviously with a 18th on the first lap. That's not going to do it. And then Justin Cooper with his 4th in Moto2 ends at 10th overall because he was only able to get 1 point in Moto1. So he goes 24, 20, then 4, not 24. You get it. We can take a look at the points here. Obviously, it's going between Chase Sexton, Hunter Lawrence. Aaron Plessinger is he's eliminated from championship contention for motocross, at least. So, Hunter Lawrence is 28 behind Chase Sexton. Of course, the way things are going, you can never guarantee anything. Sexton knows that with how his 450 Supercross title came into his hands with Cooper Webb getting hurt, Eli Tomac getting hurt, red plates on them. Goes the Chase Sexton final round. So they still got to drop the gate and go racing for 30 minutes plus 2 motos. Okay, so I just did some math. Chase Sexton to clinch it for sure in Moto1. Hunter Lawrence wins Moto1 like he's been doing. Sexton gets second to clinch it. Now, I mean, that's not a guarantee because second's obviously very hard to come by, but that's just the clinching scenarios for Moto1. Obviously, Sexton can go out and get no points in Moto1, and he will still be up by 3 points over Hunter Lawrence going into Moto2, and then he would still have a tiebreaker, I do believe, for overall wins. So if Hunter goes 1-1 and Sexton goes 22 or worse. So yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting to see Sexton's approach. I'm sure he's just going to want to go out there and take care of business and win. So now taking a look here at the Motocross of Nations. I mentioned I was going to talk about it a little bit here at the end. And first we'll just go out there and say I think Tom Vial is going to end up getting his first overall of the year. And then it's KTM sweep. Aaron Plessinger is going to win Ironman, put his stamp on him being on Team USA for Motocross of Nations. Perfect lead-in for this Motocross of Nations discussion now. I'm hoping Sexton, I know, said he would love to do it again. Obviously last year he couldn't with the whole contract ending, new one just beginning. He would have only a couple days on the bike, and sucks that Honda and KTM couldn't quite work out a deal to send Sexton over there for Team USA, but it is what it is. It's in the past now. Sexton did say he wants to go, so you got to assume he would be in the, I think it's the GP class officially. And then you got to think, hopefully, that Hayden Deegan would want to ride for Team USA, giving him the best chance for the MX2 class. If he doesn't, I think it would, I mean, I feel like it's got to be at that point, Levi Kitchen, if he wants to go. I wouldn't be surprised if Deegan doesn't want to go. I heard rumblings, probably a little over a month ago, saying that he's going to do some surgery in the off season. So who knows if he wants to go. I think he would give Team USA the best chance to win. So ideally it's Sexton, Deegan, and then this third spot for the open class. Supposedly the AMA is leaving the decision until after Ironman to see if Eli Tomac wants to, well, if Eli Tomac proves enough to warrant the invite. I think if he gets it, he will do it if he believes he can give the team a good chance to win. I know Plessinger came out, said same time Sexton said he would do it. Plessinger said he would do it. So I'm hoping, obviously, I'm an American. I was there in 22 when they won it at Red Bud. Best day of my life. So obviously it was Sexton and Eli there on the 450s. So that would be really cool to see them go over to Great Britain and, well, England, and hopefully do it again. I'm just not sure if Eli Tomac would give Team USA the best chance. Maybe he's, you could maybe say he's more healthy, less banged up than an Aaron Plessinger. But he doesn't have the gate drops that Plessinger has. Maybe doesn't quite have the race pace that Plessinger has. But who knows, after SMX, the playoffs, he will have those gate drops. Not all of them, obviously, but he will be back in race pace. I just get worried that they're going to go with Eli Tomac. He's going to go over. Obviously, he knows what it's like representing the country. He's done it plenty of times before. He was on the 2018 team at Red Bud, which I was also there. That was an absolute heartbreak disaster for Team USA in the rain. He was there in 22. That was nothing but a celebration for Team USA once again in the rain. Going to Europe, you got to assume this is going to be in the rain again also. Plessinger was on the 18 team at Red Bud. He had his struggles. Obviously, he was on the 250 at that point. Last year, he went and represented. I think he's a lot better. Plessinger's a lot better, a lot faster than he was last year. More consistent, at least, than he was last year. So I don't know. That's a good thing I'm not actually making these decisions. I'm just talking about making them. I think it's a very difficult decision, obviously, but I'm hoping that, one, that Sexton's in and gets talked to and goes. Deegan, like him or not, I don't really like him. kind of annoys me with his mouth sometimes. But he's the best 250 rider. Clearly, he just won the 250 Pro Motocross Championship. He won the 250 SMX Championship last year. But obviously, they're racing motocross, yeah, so SMX Championship, whatever. I hope those two are in for sure. And then I just hope if it's Eli, we all know Eli's potential. We all know beast mode and all that. We just got to hope he's got two more beast mode Team USA motos in him if he gets chosen. We know Plessinger loves representing the country. He's got the screaming eagle in his veins or whatever you want to say. I'm excited for the nations. I'm excited to see who gets announced. Ideally, they do it next Saturday, which, I mean, yeah, I'm not going to be able to watch the race live, so that's a tough one. I'll have to watch it maybe Sunday, hopefully. But, yeah, I'm excited to see who they pick. You just got to hope that whoever they pick, whatever three they pick, they are fully invested and want to go over and put on a show for those European fans. I just don't know why I said European that way, but I did. And then show them that Team USA is still the best motocross country in the world, just like it was 2 years ago. Just a little off year last year. We had some injuries and some struggles. But, yeah. If Hayden Deegan doesn't want to do it, I'd say screw it. Throw Justin Cooper on a 250. Throw him on a Star 250. We know he can get the starts on a 250. I don't think there's a 250 out there better than that Star bike. So whoever they pick, Deegan, or I have now fully talked myself into Justin Cooper being on a 250 for this. I could see it happening. Send the same three that we had. I just talked myself into Eli Tomac now. Holy smokes, I'm now Sexton, Tomac, Justin Cooper. Send the same three that we had last time we won. Send them till they don't win again. That's my thoughts. I don't think that's actually going to happen. I wouldn't say no, though, but anyway, let me know your thoughts. Talking underscore moto on X. Follow, share, like, all that whatnot. And, yeah, be here next week talking 450 championship. Will it be Chase Sexton? I think it will. Or will it be the Aussie rookie for 2 years in a row? A Lawrence for 2 years in a row? Hunter Lawrence. We will find out Saturday at Ironman, and we will be talking moto and talking about it next week. So, yeah, see ya.